1979 might have been one of the Smashing Pumpkins' greatest hits, but it was also the year that 12-year-old Billy Corgan was growing up in Glendale Heights, cheering on his favorite football team.
You know, I grew up in the western suburbs, you know, where everyone says Da Bears, not Da Bears.
When did your love for the Chicago Bears start?
Well, that's funny because I always tell people as I travel around the world that when you grow up in Chicago, being a Bears fan is not an option. It's sort of like you just are a Bears fan. So I don't remember ever not being a fan. Used to watch every game.
More than 300 songs, 9 studio albums, and 2 Grammy Awards for the Pumpkins. But Billy always made time to cheer on the Bears.
Did you follow the team when you were on the road?
Oh, yeah. Some of my best memories with Jimmy Chamberlain, the drummer of the Smashing Pumpkins, is us sitting in various hotel rooms around the world watching the Bears game.
The world is a vampire. Santa Jane. Secret Destroyer.
When you started the Smashing Pumpkins, did you know the band would be such a big hit?
I think we thought we were going to be successful, but I don't think we ever thought we were going to be as sort of around the world famous as we got. In many ways, still are. That's pretty strange. Be able to go literally across the world and step up an airplane and somebody knows who you are. And that's pretty wild, considering I grew up here watching Bob Avellini play quarterback. I never expected that.
Do you have a favorite player?
Well, you know, I've been lucky because I've got to meet some of the Bears along the way, but I think growing up in the time that I did in the 70s, I think Walter Payton, he just embodied something that's so unique. But even sitting here as a 49-year-old man, I think Walter Payton stands alone in the NFL as far as the way he played and the joy he brought to the game, and it really sticks with me.
The entire 85 Bears team especially sticks with Billy.
We got a trunk full of posters to deliver, half pack of gum. It's dark. We're wearing shoulder pads.
In many ways, that team, the 85 Bears, was the prototype of the NFL that was to come. And I think that's why they stick out so much even to this day, is they represented something in terms of personality and character. And a lot of great players, a lot of great plays, a lot of great memories. And, of course, Coach Ditka, who we're also lucky to meet, you know, a few times. When you grow up here, I'm a Northside guy, so I'm a Cubs guy. And there's the rivalry between the Cubs and the Sox, but we're all Bears fans here. So there really is no rivalry as far as that goes. But I think there's something about the way the Bears play and represent in the community that creates a unique relationship here.
Obviously, players have pregame warm-ups. As a musician, do you have any pre-show rituals or anything like that?
I oftentimes say the worst part of my job is warming up. It's the bane of my existence. So I warm up for about 45 minutes before a game, all the la-la-la stuff that you can imagine. And I literally want to jump out a window every time I have to do it. But that's what it takes to sing for 2.5 hours without ever leaving the stage. So I can't imagine what a professional athlete puts himself through to go out there and get knocked around for an hour.
Although Billy's life was dedicated to music, he did tap into the sports world as the president and creative voice of TNA Impact Wrestling.
So I grew up in the 70s time when wrestling was really huge here. Bob Luce Promotions. We had Dick the Bruiser and the Crusher and Baron Von Raschke. We had a lot of great legendary wrestlers working here. I grew up on that, and strangely along the way I made friends with wrestlers and promoters, and I found myself getting in the business. Recently I was running the second biggest wrestling company in the world, and it's been a strange adventure. I'm out of all that now. I'm probably going to go back in at some point, but for now I'm taking a wrestling vacation.
Billy has another adventure to keep him busy, running a local business in Highland Park. In 2012, the music icon opened Madame Zuzu's Tea Shop.
What made you want to start this tea shop?
I just wanted a place to hang out and a place to share some memories with people. And I play concerts here. We do cool stuff here. I opened the tea house to be kind of an artistic space. You know, I used to sell used records over on Broadway in Belmont. So I went back to my old original business of selling used records.
Why tea?
I've never drank coffee my whole life, so I'm not a coffee guy. I don't understand people's coffee addiction. So tea for me was sort of more sensuous and cool and a little bit different. And we try to get the best teas in the world here. If you want the best, you got to bring the best to something like this.
You've traveled all around the world,
yeah.
And then your Chicago roots bring you back to have this tea shop here in Highland Park. What is it about Chicago that keeps you coming home?
I think growing up here, it's always reminded me what makes America important and lead the world in a way with sort of spirit. And I think that's why we love hard, we play hard, you know, we want our teams to fight hard.